Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Won't you waste some time with me? Hey, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back for another complete waste of your time with this week's Drunk and Dangerous. Are you excited? I am. I am very excited because today I decided to switch some things up instead of a regular Drunk and Dangerous 420 fairy tales. I am going to challenge myself because who doesn't love a challenge? And I thought, you know, what would be more entertaining than to listen to yours truly attempt to refrain from cursing for the entirety of this episode as best I can? Will something happen to me if I fail and I curse? No, of course not. I'm going to do anything bad to myself. Shame on you for even thinking that. Shame. I would curse at you for it, but I can't, so I won't. But you would have deserved it. So you're going to try to listen, and I'm going to try to not curse. I'm going to try to not curse at these stories. I can't promise you much, but I think that my suffering will at the very least be entertaining for you fucking vultures. Hope you're happy. Anyway. Oh, shoot, I cursed. Ah, no. Ah, okay, that's what. I'm going to try to, like, keep a tally at the end. Was that two? Oh, no. Ah, I can do this? Oh, this is going to be hard. See, being that I am high as heck, pardon me, I'm going to have a hard time keeping it together, you guys, please. Pray to your non-existent gods for me. Tips Fedora. Okay. Let's start. I think I can do this. Starting now. Not before. Before was a test. I don't think I can do this, but just to be totally honest, but I'm gonna give it a try. Okay. The first story is called The Pair Refused to Fall. Typical millennial. Am I right? This is what happens when you raise a generation on participation ribbons. Well, joke's on you, Mom. I kept them all and I'm so proud. Oh, Lord. Okay, the pair refused to fall. Oh, good. It's like a poem. I love those. They're great. Ooh, keeping it together. The master went to shake the pear, but the pear refused to fall. The master sent the servant out to shake the pear and make it fall. But the servant did not shake at all. The pear refused to fall. I mean, if the servant didn't do anything, of course the pear refused to fall. Don't give me that. Of course, what did it, like, go out and shake the tree? No. My goodness, the pear refused to fall when nothing happened to it. Well, obviously. God, this is difficult. Okay. Try not to rant about this. Okay. The master sent the guard dog out to bite the servant with his snout. His snout, I generally think of his nose, not mouth, but okay. But the stick did not hit at all. The dog did not bite at all. The servant did not shake at all. The pear refused to fall. It's so deep, you guys. The master sent the fire out. The master sent the fire. So this is some magical baloney, right? Okay. The master sent the fire out. They have a real close relationship. A burning desire for one another, perhaps. The master sent the fire out to burn the stick down to a crisp. Wow. He was talking to the stick just the other day. He's totally having his friend murdered. That's messed up. I mean, my apologies. Forgive me if I want to judge your friendship, but if your friend doesn't do what you say. First of all, you were like, hey, friend of mine, beat my dog for me. And your friend's like, nah, man, the dog didn't do anything. And then he's like, okay, hey, fire, go kill Stick over there for refusing to beat my dog. You're not a good person. You're not a good human being. The fire should burn you instead. You pile of human garbage. See, I'm refraining from cursing. It hurts. It hurts me deep on the inside, and it's only been 6 minutes. Not even 6 minutes. Okay. I can do this. I need a drink. I can do this. What a good story. The master spent the fire out to burn the stick down to a crisp. But the fire did not burn at all. The stick did not hit at all. The dog did not bite at all. The servant did not shake at all. The pair refused to fall. So once again, this fantastic murdering person of master sent the water out to snuff the little fire out. But the water did not snuff at all. The fire did not burn at all. The stick did not hit at all. The dog did not bite at all. The servant did not shake at all. I'm not going to keep reading this garbage. I'm just going to start at the beginning part and cut off the rest because no one needs to hear this tripe. This is absolutely pointless. We don't need this. Stop giving me this absolute, utter malarkey. I don't approve. 0 out of 10. I have to keep reading it. I hate it. Ah, it's so boring. Okay. And the master sent the little calf out to lap the water up because now he's sending his friend to eat his other friend. I don't know. This is some weird stuff. This shouldn't be happening. The master sent the butcher out to kill the little calf. Well, he's not even trying. He's not even trying to cover his bases. He's like, kill the calf for not drinking the water. Then the master sent the henchman out to go and hang the butcher. Because the butcher obviously didn't kill the calf. Now the butcher wants to kill the calf. The calf wants the water to lap. The water wants the fire to snuff. The fire wants the stick to burn. The stick wants the dog to hit. The dog wants the servant to bite. The servant wants the pear to shake. And the pear is ready to fall. So until he went and hired henchmen. So basically what you're saying is if you need a job done, hire henchmen to do it. Henchmen always get it right. Thank you, Grimm. As a villain in the making, this is excellent advice. I'll get my henchmen right away to beat the hell out of the butcher. What a horrible, horrible piece of garbage. I might have cursed just then. I don't remember. I'll listen back and shame myself, but that was terrible. I'm apologizing right now for having to listen to that. Hopefully my horrible inability to curse was more entertaining. Let's continue on. Wait. No, I take it back. The next one's called The Castle of Murder. And until I get to that one, because being unable to curse in an extremely violent story is indeed a curse among itself for me. That's horrifying. I'm not gonna be able to curse when, like, children are getting ripped up and put through, like, wood chippers, like dogs and babies and all this wonderful nonsense, and I'm gonna have to not be able to curse at that. I'm gonna have to find other ways. I'm not that smart, people. My thesaurus is like 2 pages long. Give me a mother flippin' break here for a GD second. Feeling like Ned Flanders right now, and I don't like it. Expand my vocabulary, never! Alright. Let's do it. I can do this. How dare you doubt me? How dare you? I'm talking to you. The person listening right now, you're thinking to yourself, dangerous, can't do this. She's gonna mess up. Of course she is. This is stupid. Stupid date. It was like half of what she says is a curse word. Shame on you if you're thinking it. If you're not, good for you. Unless you're thinking, no, she's dumber than that. In which case, shame. Double shame. Let's get over this. The more I'm going to have to want to chew you out, the longer I'm going to want to rant and curse at you. So, you, the person who didn't do anything, really, except make the mistake of clicking on this audio. God, I'm sorry. Let's continue on to very PG on my end, at least, for curse. I was going to say PG rated because I'm like, see, I'm not going to curse. But then I'm like, no, Grimm's probably going to have one of those weird dad incesting his 7-year-old stories and the house burns down. And you're like, geez, I was just trying to make it nice. Nothing's nice here. The Castle of Murder. At least he's letting us know. It's not like happy doggy goes to town. And it's just like, and then he crushed between the wheels of the butcher. Terrible. Once upon a time, there was a shoemaker who had 3 daughters. One day when the shoemaker was out, a well-dressed nobleman came with a splendid carriage and servants, and he appeared to be very rich. He fell in love with one of the beautiful daughters, who thought herself fortunate to have found such a rich gentleman. I said wretch, but I meant rich. And she's a gold digger. A gold digging prostitute. And she gladly agreed to ride off with him. Isn't that just... Tell me, though, there are not incel forums right now where they're talking about stuff exactly like this. Like, of course she rode off with the guy because he was rich. Of course she did. It's like, man, you're making all the other fictional fairy tale ladies look bad. We already have to contend with these horrible stepmothers. And now you're still making them look bad, man. Women can't catch a break. And neither can little tiny gray men in forests. Maybe you're just a little tiny gray human man who lives in forest. Now people are going to think you're going to be doing magic. It's not your fault. Anyway, let's continue. Castle of Murder. I'm sure it's going to be lovely. As they were on their way, it turned dark, and he asked her, "The moon shining very bright. My horses are dashing into the night. Sweet love, are you having any doubts?" That's weird as fuck. Why did you rhyme the first half of that? But whatever, okay. Now I am. Why were you rhyming? That's weird as hell. Don't do that. It's very off-putting. Oh, no. Oh, no, I cursed. I apologize. You were right. I wasn't going to do it right. Okay, I got too into the story. Let me rewind. Take that back. No, why should I have any doubts? I'm very well taken care of by you. But indeed, she did feel a certain uneasiness. It was the poetry. It's always the poetry. When they were in a large forest, she asked him if they would be there soon. "Yes," he said. "Do you see the light in the distance? That's my castle." At last they arrived, and everything was very beautiful. You know, the way they made it sound, it made me think he didn't even have a castle, and he was just going to kill her before they even got anywhere. Like, way to fake me out, man. I thought for sure that he didn't even have a castle, and she was just totally fooled by some random guy coming to town being like, "Yeah, I'm rich, for sure, wink, wink." And she's like, "Oh, okay. I totally believe you, stranger. Let's go off into your castle," you know? And he just, like, Googled castle and picked, like, the first image result that came up. "I so love you." So stupid. Okay. At last they arrived, and everything was very beautiful. Is he squatting in the castle? The next day he said to her he had to leave her for a few days. He totally squatted and then he just peaced out, and then like the prince comes back, he's like, "Who are you?" He had to leave for a few days because he had to take care of some important and urgent business. He's definitely having an affair. However, he wanted to leave all the keys with her so he could see the whole castle and what treasure she, as mistress, now possessed. When he was gone, she went through the entire castle and found that everything was beautiful. She was completely satisfied until she came to the cellar, where an old woman was sitting and scraping out intestines. As one does, sitting in the cellar and scraping out what I can only assume is excrement from intestines. Thanks, Grimm, for that image. Granted, it is like Murder Castle. But what the heck? Grimm, You gosh darn fooler? That's quite the imagery, pal. Thanks a whole friggin' bunch. I really needed that in my head. So great. Let's keep going. Scraping intestines. What I wanted to think about. Ooh. Oh, what the heck? Okay, I need to stop reading forward. My goodness, Granny, what are you doing there?
I'm scraping intestines, my child. Tomorrow I'll be scraping yours, too.
What the? Thanks for the nightmare fuel. Thank you. I'm glad I'm doing this. I'm glad I can't even get the relief of cursing like I so desperately want. The maiden was so terrified by her words that she dropped the key she was holding into a basin of blood. And she couldn't wash the blood off the key.
Now your death is certain,
said the old woman.
Because my master will be able to see you are in the chamber, and no one is allowed to enter here except him and me.
One must indeed know that this was the way her two sisters had lost their lives before her. How did we know that? What? I thought she was the first pick. I'm so confused. Well, I probably just don't remember because I'm really high. And also, this old lady, if she's going to be scraping out your victim's intestines, like, first of all, why are you eating them? But second of all, you need to hire someone who knows to not talk to your next murder victim about how you're going to murder them. That's, like, key to getting away with your plot, is not warning the victim ahead of time. You can't trust that old biddy. She don't know any better. Fire her! Fire her old behind! I know it's hard to find a good intestine scraper, but this lady cannot... Don't tell the victim at the very least. Of everyone you're gonna tell the intended victim. That's the worst choice you could make. Put it online or something. You know, go to like 4chan. Go to the fucking 4... Oh, jeez. Ah, curse again. Go to the friggin... 4chan. You know, Okay, I'm done. I'm just going to keep going. I can't keep ranting. If I rant, it's just going to happen. I can't stop it. Okay. Just then, a hay wagon began to drive away and leave the castle. The old woman told her the only way she could save herself was by hiding under the hay and driving off in the wagon. And this is what the maiden did. In the meantime, the nobleman returned home and asked where the maiden was.
Oh, said the old woman. Since I had no more work for today, and since she was due to be slaughtered tomorrow, I decided to kill her. Here's a lock of her hair. The dogs ate up her heart, the warm blood, and all the rest. I'm scraping out the intestines.
The nobleman was glad that she was dead for some reason. What a weirdo. Meanwhile, she arrived in the hay wagon at a nearby castle, where the hay was supposed to be delivered. She climbed out of the hay and told everything she knew. To whom? Who knows? Then she was asked to remain, and after some time had passed, the lord of this castle invited all the gentry of the surrounding region to a great feast. Since the noblemen from the castle of murder had also been invited... I really like to think that this is just what it's, like, named, the castle of murder. That's just how it's known. The castle of murder. Should we invite them from the castle of murder? Yeah, I'm sure we'll be fine. Since the nobleman from the castle of murder had also been invited, because why not? The maiden changed her features and clothes so she wouldn't be recognized. How? Is she a changeling? How is this happening? She changed her features? Clothes, sure, but features? Is anyone else able to... Am I the only one who can't just change my features on a whim? Am I alone in this? I feel like I'm alone. Does this sound so normal to them? But could you imagine if you're like, oh no, there's that guy I hate. Hold on, let me just change my features real quick.
Once they were all there, everyone had to tell a tale. When it was the maiden's turn, she told a particular story that concerned the nobleman and made his heart tremble with fear. And he wanted to force his way out. However, the lord of the castle had planned ahead of time to have the authorities ready to take our fine count to prison. His castle was destroyed. Wow, that's kind of harsh. And all the treasures were given to the maiden for her own. Afterward, she married the lord's son in the house where she had been so well received. And they lived together many, many years. The end. Let's take an intermission. What a waste of time. What a waste. What a friggin' waste. Who doesn't love to go to towns and marry people that you want old women to kill? Scrape their intestines. Why bother? Why not just be single? Why not kill them yourself? Where's the sport in that? Just picking them up to hand them off to the old lady? I don't know, man. I guess I'm just not that brand of crazy psycho. Forgive me. And this next story sounds very boring, so it should be easy for me not to curse. It is called Johannes Waterspring and Kaspar Waterspring. They sound like mattress. Like, they have a mattress company, right? Waterspring. Johannes and Kaspar Waterspring. They're, like, the heirs to the Waterspring mattress company fortune. Here we go. Johannes and Kaspar Waterspring. A king insisted his daughter was not to marry and had a house built for her in the most secluded part of the forest. That is not cool, to be that controlling of your child's sex life. What the heck? She had to live there with her ladies-in-waiting, and no other human being was allowed to see her. Joke's on him, she was a lesbian. Near the house in the woods, however, there was a spring with marvelous qualities, and when the princess drank from it, she consequently gave birth to two princes. So, she lived in near impregnation spring, and gave birth to two water babies. She named Johannes Waterspring and Kaspar Waterspring. Their grandfather, the old king, had them instructed in hunting, and as they grew older, they became big and handsome young men. When the day arrived for them to set out into the world, each received a silver star. I like to think of it as like a sticker on their chest. Like, good job, buddy. A horse and a dog to take on the journey. Once they came to a forest, they immediately saw two hares and wanted to shoot them. But the hares asked for mercy. Of course, the rabbits can talk. Why are you killing talking animals? That's like killing a person. Why is that okay to you? Oh gosh, why? The hares asked for mercy and said that they would like to serve them, and that they could be useful and help them whenever they were in danger. The two brothers let themselves be persuaded and took them along as servants. Okay. Soon after, they came upon two bears, and when they took aim at them, these animals also cried out for mercy and promised to serve them faithfully. So the retinue was increased, and now they came to a crossroad where they said,
"We've got to separate here, and one of us should go to the right, the other should head off to the left."
Have you not watched a horror movie? That is a terrible idea. Before doing this, each of them stuck a knife in a tree at the crossroad so that they could determine by the rust whether the other was faring well and whether he was still alive. That's not going to work in real life, but here it will. Then they took leave from another, kissed one another, ooh, the sexual tension, and rode off. Johannes Waterspring came to a city that was quite still and sad because the princess was to be sacrificed to a dragon. You're the ones doing it. Stop acting sad about that. It's your choice to be sacrificed to a dragon. That was devastating the entire country.
and could be pacified only by this sacrifice. It was announced that whoever wanted to risk his life and kill the dragon would receive the princess for his bride, so, I mean, either way. However, nobody had volunteered. They had also tried to trick the monster by sending out the princess's chambermaid, but the dragon realized what was happening right away and did not take the bait. I mean, I assume he's seen the princess before.
I know I'm yawning already. See what happens when I don't get the curse.
Oh, I'm tired. Okay.
Johannes Waterspring thought,
"You must try your luck. Perhaps you'll succeed."
And so he set out with his company and headed toward the dragon's nest.
The battle was fierce. The dragon spewed forth fire and flames and ignited all the grass around them, so that Johannes Waterspring certainly would have suffocated if the hare, dog, and bear had not stamped out and subdued the fire.
Not only can they speak, but they know how to tamp out fires. Why are you shooting them? They're better than most people I've known. Most people I know wouldn't tamp out a fire if it's threatening my life. That's just terrible. And I don't shoot them. I might want to, but I don't. Okay, let's see. Where the heck was I? Oh, here it is. Finally, the dragon succumbed. And Johannes Waterspring cut off its 7 heads and then sliced its 7 tongues, which he stuck into his sack. Not his ball sack, though. It's regular sack. Don't think that way. Now, however, he was so tired that he lay down right at that spot and fell asleep. While he was sleeping, the princess's coachman arrived, and when he saw the man lying there and the 7 heads next to him, he thought,
"We've got to take advantage of this."
So he stabbed Johannes Waterspring to death. Okay. And took the 7 heads with him. He carried everything to the king and said he'd killed the monster. Indeed, he had brought the 7 heads as evidence, and the princess became his bride. In the meantime, Johannes Waterspring's animals set up camp nearby after the battle and had also slept. When they returned to their master, they found him dead. As they were looking, they saw how the ants, whose mound had been stamped on during the battle, were spreading the sap from an oak tree on their dead ones. And these ants immediately came back to life. That doesn't work. Don't try that on your loved one. That doesn't work. The sap from an oak tree won't bring your dead people back to life. Don't do it. It also doesn't work on ants. Don't try it on an ant. You're wasting your time. The more you know. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't work, but whatever. And he spread it on... Oh, so the bear went and fetched the sap, and he spread it on Johannes Waterspring. Shortly thereafter, Johannes was completely well and healthy and thought about the princess for whom he had fought. So he rushed to the city where her marriage to the coachman was being celebrated, and the people were saying that the coachman had killed the 7-headed dragon. Johannes Waterspring's dog and bear ran into the castle where the princess tied some roast meat and wine around their necks and ordered her servants to follow the animals and to invite their owner to the wedding. Okay, so now Johannes Waterspring showed up at the wedding just as the platter with the 7 dragon heads were being displayed. These were the heads that coachman had brought with him. But now Johann Waterspring pulled out the 7 tongues from his sack, his ball sack, and placed them next to the heads. Consequently, he was declared the real dragon slayer and became the princess's husband, while the coachman was banished. But I wonder if he already got to, you know. Not long thereafter, Johannes went out hunting and followed a deer with silver antlers. He hunted the deer for a long time but could not catch it. Finally, he met an old woman who turned him and his dog, horse, and bear into stone. What is... Where did that even come from? Meanwhile, Caspar Waterspring returned to the tree in which he and his brother had stuck their knives and saw that his brother's knife had rusted because he was turned into stone by some old woman for some reason, and that means his knife rusts for some reason. We don't need the answers. Why not? Why not? Why don't? We don't. We just don't. We don't. We do not, so let's ignore it. Okay, he immediately decided to search for his twin and rode off. Soon he came to the city where his brother's wife was living.
She thought he was her real husband because he looked like him and was delighted by his return and insisted that he stay with her. But Kashbar of Otterspring continued traveling until he found his brother and animals all turned into stone. Soon after, he forced the old woman to break the magic spell, and then the brothers rode toward their home. Along the way, they agreed that the first one to be embraced by the princess should be her husband. Well, it turned out to be Johannes Waterspring. The end. Let's take an intermission. This not cursing is difficult. I've only cursed like 6 or 7 times or something by now, and I hate it. It's very difficult. Words hard. Words.
Extremely
hard. Look, I never yawn, and I'm yawning this time. And why? We all know why. I can't curse. I swear. My curse words are what energize me. If I can't curse, I'm like, what's the point of living? Oh, I'm not. I'm joking. But anyway, whoever said I wasn't gonna do this without cursing, you were right. You were so right. I completely cannot do this. It's extremely difficult. Could you imagine if I had kids? Like, their first word would be the F word. It'd be terrible. Anyway, let's continue. What a great title for this one. Definitely not redundant. The Bird Phoenix. The Bird Phoenix, not the town. Thanks for letting me know. Not the actor. Joaquin Phoenix. Thank you for letting me know. One day a rich man went for a walk along the river. All at once he saw a small casket swimming by. Don't you mean floating? It was swimming. Is the casket alive or is this just bad writing? I really don't know. Place your bets. Casket. Alive or dead. Alive or dead. Alive or dead. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, let's see. He grabbed hold of the casket, and when he opened the cover, he saw a small child lying inside. If you were playing a drinking game and you had dead child, take a drink. So he took the child home and had him raised in his house. Oh, he wasn't dead. He was just in a casket? Because... okay. I mean, I've never abandoned a baby. Forgive me. But I assumed you put him in a bassinet, not a casket? Was this a failed abortion that you found? I don't understand. But fine. You found a baby in a casket just a paddling by like you do. He took the child home and had him raised in his house. However, the rich man disliked the boy. Wow! That kid's life cannot get any worse. He's abandoned in a coffin, and then the guy who finds you hates you? What the heck? And one time, he took the boy with him in a boat on the river. Once the boat was in the middle of the river, he swam to shore and left the child alone in the boat. How bad you gotta be for your dad to give up like a boat worth thousands of dollars just to get you away from him? It's not even like, I thought he was gonna left the kid in like the river. Instead, he left the boat. Boats are expensive. He just like swam back away from this kid. Like, he's a rich man. Why doesn't he have another boat on the boat? What the heck?
I'm yawning again. Oh, not cursing is taking it out of you guys. Okay, so...
The boat continued floating down the river until it passed the mill, and the miller saw the child. The miller took pity on the child, fetched him from the boat, and raised him in his house. Is he gonna hate him too, and then he's just gonna, like, beat him to death or something? I don't know if I can take this anymore. I'm feeling bad for this kid, or I'm thinking, who is this kid? What is he doing? Why is he so annoying? Because I feel like I've been around those kids. You ever been, like, in a plane, and the kid behind you won't stop kicking your seat,
it just won't stop. Even if you, like, ask the parent nicely and you hear the parent ask the kid keeps kicking your seat, and the parent has to keep being like, please don't kick their seat. And they keep doing it, and you're like, that little kid should be sucked out of the fucking, curse! Renting is so hard without cursing! That kid should be sucked out of the freaking hatch. Out. Nothing is lost. Suck him out. Poster abortion. Get it done. We've all met those kids. Absolute ghastly, ghastly children. Cause an innocent woman like me to curse, which I would never normally do. Let's continue before I die. Okay. One day the rich man happened to come by, recognized the child, and carried him away. Okay. You are not allowed to be that fickle in a child's life. You cannot abduct a child after you abandon him. You can't, I'm sorry, you cannot abduct that child. That's not cool, rich man. Typical rich man, am I right? Fuck, friggin', frigging stuffing on our necks, we all know. So many curses. Guys, this is tough. Really, if you want to see me try this again next time, I can make an effort. This is hard, though. The hardest challenge. One day, he carried him away. Soon thereafter, he gave the young man a letter to bring to his wife, and the letter said, "What? As soon as you read this letter, you are to kill the person who delivered it." He stole the child away just to try to get his wife to murder it? Why? However, as the young man was traveling through the forest, he met an old man who said to him,
"Show me the letter you're carrying in your hand."
The old man took the letter, turned it around once, and gave it back to the young man. Now the letter read, "You are immediately to offer our daughter as wife to the young man delivering this letter." How did he do it? Was it magic? Did you just, like, erase it and put that in instead? How did it do that? How? I'm guessing it's magic because it's an old man in a forest, so of course it is. And this is what happened. And when the rich man heard about this, he became furious and said,
"Well, this wedding's not going to happen so quickly. Before I give you my daughter, you must bring me 3 feathers from the bird Phoenix."
I mean, really, the bird Phoenix? Is it a bird named Phoenix or is it a phoenix? So the young man set out on his way to the bird Phoenix and met the old man again on the same spot in the forest.
"Keep walking the entire day," he said. "In the evening, you'll come to a tree. 2 doves will be sitting on it, and they'll tell you how to proceed."
And I'm yawning again. Oh, it's attacking me.
God, that cursing is hard. It's already dirty. My energy, okay. That evening, when the young man came to the tree, 2 doves were sitting on it. One of the doves said,
"Whoever searches for the bird Phoenix must walk the entire day. In the evening, he'll come to a gate that's locked."
Then the second dove said,
"There is a gold key that lies underneath the tree, and it will open the gate."
The young man found the key and later used it to open the gate. 2 men were sitting there, and one of them said, "Whoever searches for the bird Phoenix must travel a great distance over the high mountain, and then he'll finally come to a castle." On the evening of the 3rd day, he finally reached the castle where a wise little lady sat and said,
"What do you want here?"
"Oh, I'd like to get 3 feathers from the bird Phoenix."
"Your life is in danger,"
she said.
"If the bird Phoenix becomes aware of your presence, he'll eat you up, skin and hair. Nevertheless, I'll see if I can help you get the 3 feathers. He comes here every day, and I must comb him with a narrow comb, so come quick, get under the table."
After he did this, the young man was then covered completely by a cloth. What? This is gonna seem real familiar. Meanwhile, the bird Phoenix came home. He sat down at the table and said,
I smell human flesh!
What the hell? Is that, they all smell, I smell human flesh. Is that what all people that eat people say? Because I've heard it so many times now. Stop saying, I smell.
I smell human flesh. Do you both smell, as in you stink and you smell human flesh? It's a pattern, and it's... So, a cannibal, regular old man cannibal, got turned into bird phoenix man-eater. Who now says, I smell...
Karma, I smell human flesh!
For whatever reason.
Oh, what? You see, don't you? Nobody's here.
Come me now,
the bird phoenix responded. What a jerk. Comb yourself, you jerk. The wise little lady combed the bird phoenix, and as she was doing this, he fell asleep. When he was sound asleep, she grabbed a feather, pulled it out, and threw it beneath the table. All at once, he woke up.
Why are you tearing my hair like this? I dreamed that a human came and pulled out one of my feathers.
She calmed him down, and so it went two more times. When the young man had the three feathers, he set out for home and was now able to obtain his bride.
My God, I can't help it.
Oh, the stop cursing is killing me. Is it killing you? I am so sorry. I have done that so many times. You're probably yawning now if you're listening. It's just your own fault for making me do this challenge to myself, which I blame on you, even though you had no say in it. And with that, we will read one more story before I have to call it a night so I can actually do a Discord call with all of you guys. If you were on that call, maybe not with you. Yeah, you. You know who you are. All right, we're going to listen to this last story, which is The Carnation. Mm-mm-mm. A long time ago, there lived a king who never wanted to marry. Now one day he stood at a window and watched some people entering the church. Among them was a maiden who was so beautiful that he immediately abandoned his resolution. Wow. He never wants to marry until he's horny. All right, bud. So he had the maiden summoned him and chose her for his wife. After 1 year had passed, she gave birth to a prince, and the king didn't know whom to ask to be the godfather. Finally, he said,
The first man I meet, no matter who it is, I'll ask him to be the godfather.
What a terrible king if that's his. That's how he makes his decisions. Good job. Sounds like Trump. Not to be political. He went out, and the first person he met was a poor old man, and he asked him to be the godfather. The poor man agreed, but requested that he be the only one to carry the child into the church. That the church was to be locked and that nobody be allowed to observe the ceremony. Is he going to rape that child? I'm not letting you that close with my child. Strange, poor old man. Why do you demand to be alone in a locked building with my child? Tell me that doesn't sound rapey as heck. Like, no. All this was granted. However, the king had an evil, curious gardener. When the old man carried the child into the church, he sneaked after him and hid himself among the benches. Soon he watched the old man carrying the child before the altar and blessing him. The old man seemed to be someone who understood secret powers, and he gave the child the gift of realizing everything he wished for. The evil gardener immediately thought how advantageous it would be for him if he had the child. So one day when the queen went for a walk and carried the child in her arm, the gardener tore it away from her, smeared her mouth with the blood of a slaughtered chicken, and accused her of killing and eating her child in the garden. I have never been so glad that I don't live back then. So the king had her thrown into prison, while the gardener sent the child far away to a forester in the woods. He was supposed to raise the child, and it was there that the prince learned all about the hunting. All about hunting, not the hunting. That's not a thing. Moreover, the forester had a beautiful daughter by the name of Lisa.
Lisa! You're tearing me apart, Lisa!
And the two young children became very fond of one another. Lisa revealed to him that he was a prince, and that he had the power to realize every wish he made. How does she know? How does she know? How does she know this? How does she know? How does she know this information? How, Grim? How does she know? How does she know? Okay. After some time had passed, the gardener came to the forester, and when the prince saw him, he immediately wished the gardener to become a poodle, and his dear Lisa a carnation. He stuck her on himself, and the poodle had to run alongside the prince. Then he went to his father's court, where he entered the royal service as hunter, and soon he became the king's favorite hunter because he could shoot any kind of animal in the forest. All the prince had to do was to wish, and the animals came running to him. Wow. It's kind of messed up. Despite all the services he rendered the king, the prince did not ask to be compensated. He only asked for a room for himself that he kept locked, and he insisted on taking care of meals for himself. All of this seemed strange to his fellow hunters, especially his refusal to receive wages, so one of his comrades followed him and looked through the keyhole. All at once he saw the new hunter sitting at a table next to a beautiful maiden, who was his dear Lisa, whom he changed into her natural form whenever he was in the room. That sounds awful, and I sound like a prisoner if I'm Lisa, right? She's a prisoner! I don't want to be stuck as a flower! I'm a person! Jerk! Let's see. Oh, whenever they were alone. And whenever he went out, she became the carnation again and stood in a glass of water. The hunters thought that he must have a great amount of wealth and broke into his room when the prince was out hunting. However, they found absolutely nothing. Only the carnation on the windowsill. Since the flower was so beautiful, they brought it to the king, who became so very fond of it that he demanded it from the hunter. However, the young hunter refused to give it to him, even for all the money in the world, because the flower was his beautiful Lisa. Finally, the king insisted on having it. The hunter revealed everything that had happened and that he was his son. When the king heard this, he rejoiced with all of his heart. The queen was released from prison, and the faithful Lisa became the prince's wife. The godless gardener was compelled to remain a poodle for the rest of his life and was often kicked by the servants when he lay underneath the table. That's right. Animal abuse for the abusers. That's not okay, but let's pretend it is. And just like not okay, but let's pretend it is, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Drunk and Dangerous, 420 Fairy Tales, Attempt at No Cursing Edition. I did a terrible job, but thank you so much for listening to my horrible attempts. I suffered deeply. I hope you did too, just a little bit. Please, please suffer a little bit for me. And join me back next time for another Drunk and Dangerous. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you then. Bye. Mwah.